foundational tools to develop biblical worldviews. Welcome to Mentoring Matters. With the world culture invading the church, it is vital that we establish some deeper roots in biblical doctrine to grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Join us now as we let the Word of God give us foundational tools to develop and maintain a biblical worldview. Hello again, this is Sharon Hoskins. Thanks for being with us today here on Mentoring Matters. Last week, Janie Ratzliff and I discussed four phases of spiritual growth that we can use to evaluate our Christian walk. I want to replay that part of the program before we move into understanding the sufficiency of the Scriptures. We have been trying to establish some deeper roots in our biblical doctrine. And, you know, a tree, when a tree is growing, a little sapling does not have roots like a mature tree. You know, it's a lot easier to go out and knock over a sapling and pull it up out of the ground than it is to pull up an established mature tree, because their roots go deep. They spread wide. They're established in the ground, in the soil. So we need to learn what it means to become mature and get our roots deep down into the soil of sound doctrine, biblical doctrine. And so what is that progression towards maturity?
Well, there are at least four phases that I would like for anyone who says, I just need to examine myself to see where I am in this progression towards maturity, from moving from one aspect to another. And so let's start there in the fact that let's establish that you do have a relationship. Because apart from having a relationship with the Lord, there is no hope for you going on to a biblical worldview. And you won't want to, because it will be foolishness to you.
Right.
So let's make sure that we have a relationship.
So that's the first step.
And then I would just say that's a simple, famous verse in the Bible, John 3:16.
Okay.
That God sent his son to die for the entire world, that whosoever would choose his son may, and may is a solid, absolutely can have eternal life.
Okay.
So once you know you have a relationship, then you need to know what your position is in Christ. And when you get into the Word of God, you will find that anytime you see with Christ, in Christ, that that is a position that the Godhead has secured for you that can never be taken away from you. And in fact, you can't get rid of it yourself once you're in Him. It's a permanent position. Now, do we see all the benefits in our life immediately? We don't see them necessarily in activity, but they are there. And a simple illustration, Sharon, is when a baby is born, it has the position, whether it's male or female, and I don't believe there's anything else that is born other than male or female, that they still cannot function maturely. A newborn baby boy cannot father and produce the seed necessary for a reproduction. All the parts are there. Everything is equipped. But there must be growth.
Okay.
And so it's the same way in Christ. When you are in Christ, you are secure. And the things that the enemy tries to put guilt on you or doubt or deception are simply tools of the enemy. But then we have to go through a certain set of experiences to get to full-grown maturity.
Okay.
And that process is really called sanctification, which is simply set apart for Christ for His purpose. And part of the goal is for His purpose is to have us as mature children so that we can fulfill our calling and our destiny, which is different than your destination, so that we can fulfill what we have been created for. Destination is where you're going, heaven or hell. For all
okay.
of eternity.
All right.
Your destiny is, what are you going to do when you're in heaven or in hell?
Okay.
That's
all
about
right.
as simple as I can put it.
Perfect.
Now, Are we willing, once we know that we're positionally sound and we have a relationship, then how are we going to function in this confusing world that we have spoken of so often with compromise, deception? Mm-hmm. And we need to have a helper. And the Lord said, I won't leave you helpless. I will send my Spirit, which will be in you and will guide you, will be a refuge to you, will give you comfort, counsel, and keep you from falling as you mature while you're here this 60, 70, 80, possibly 100 years.
Okay.
Okay? So having the dependence upon the Holy Spirit, the Lord spoke much about that in the Gospel of John. And I would say for anybody that is wanting to know more about that, they need to find a red letter Bible and start to read from about John 10 till John 18 to see how the Holy Spirit is operating at the request of God the Father and Jesus Christ.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Then let me make one other point before we go on. One of the things that keeps us from maturing in this is that we don't realize that according to the scriptures in Colossians 3, that once we are in Christ, even though we are still functioning here, positionally, we have been seated at the right hand of God. That's Colossians 3. If you then be risen with Jesus Christ, meaning do you have a relationship, then seek those things that are above. All right? This is boot training camp here. And if I don't know anything more except to get out of hell and into heaven and I know nothing more, then I will remain an infant in the family of God.
Okay.
And that's where a lot of our brothers and sisters are living today, spiritually saved, positionally secure, but not living with the dependence on the Holy Spirit to know how to live victorious.
Okay.
Then we go into just the practical sanctification, which, as I said, is being set apart unto the Lord. And there's a couple of verses that I'd like to bring out here, Sharon, because to build a biblical worldview, you must let the Lord develop character.
Okay. Well, yeah. Okay.
I
think I get that. Our character stems from our worldview, doesn't it?
Well, absolutely. But let me give you where a Christian can get hung up. They can get very intellectually astute in the languages. They can know creeds, they can know programs, they can know performances, they can absolutely astound you with knowing all about the historical Jesus, give you history on the Bible, and still be totally carnal in their walk with the Lord.
And on the other hand, they'll cheat you, lie to you, steal from you.
Mm-hmm.
At the same time.
Okay. Okay.
I gotcha.
Okay. So character is one of the foundational tools for building biblical worldview.
Okay.
Okay. And for a point of reference, I love what one of my favorite teachers, Dr. Paul Brownbeck, has said. He says it requires character to be a good steward, faithful, to study the scriptures, and to be a witness. And that can be found in Romans 5, 3 through 5. And then it also tells us that to develop this character, it's going to require tribulations where we will learn to persevere.
Mm-hmm.
But as we persevere, we will start to develop this character and we'll develop hope and it will deepen our love for the Lord poured out through the Holy Spirit. Now, how do we know that this is working? Well, we go to Galatians 5, where it lists the fruit of the Spirit. So if you and I are having a friendship, and I see the love of the Lord manifested with a joyful heart, peace, patience, and that patience in the Greek means putting up with people, not so much the circumstances, but patience in relationship and caring for one another and loving one another, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Those are visible evidences that you are building character, which will be a foundational tool and foundational stone for building a correct biblical worldview.
Okay, wow.
Now, let me just bring us to another sobering point, and that's James 1. And so the Lord says, I'm going to let you have various trials. We're going to develop patience and perseverance. And we go, oh, I'm so sorry, Lord. I don't know if I can go along with you on this one.
So do you think that's why we continually go through this cycle of testing and trials and hardships and struggles and, I mean, because we're not learning our lesson?
Well, yes, but let me give you a more profound comeback to you.
Okay.
Okay? Who in their quote-unquote, and I'm using my little fingers, who in their right mind would ever use the crucifixion of a cross, which was the most painful, embarrassing way to die, as the road to eternal recovery, reconciliation, restoration? What philosophy in a non-biblical worldview would say, we're going to use the cross as a means? So people don't buy into it, but it is the mind of God. So they reject it because it's too much pain.
Okay, right.
But James, and just go read James 1. It says, count it all joy when you go through this process because it has eternal value for a true biblical worldview. And it's going to also increase your faith. And the warning is, but don't waver. Don't be like a ship on a tossing sea being tossed to and fro. So you have to set your mind, and that's what Romans 12 tells us.
So in order for us to establish a biblical worldview, we must understand that there are these steps to maturity. First is coming into a relationship with God, the Father, through His Son, Jesus. And that's Romans 10:13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And then second is accepting our position in Christ. And 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. And behold, all things are become new. Then third is learning to depend on the Holy Spirit. Romans 8:11 says, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwells in you. And then lastly is living victorious through the sanctification process, which includes testing and trials to build Christ-like character. And James 1:3 says, knowing this, that the testing of your faith produces patience. And also in Romans 5:3-4, it says, but we glory in tribulation also, knowing that tribulation works patience, and patience character, and character hope. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, let's talk about the sufficiency of the Scriptures. You're listening to Sharon Hart's Mentoring Matters on KWXC 88.9 FM, Grove, Oklahoma. With the world's culture invading the church, it is vital that we establish some deeper roots in biblical truth. To hear this program again, or to find resource materials, you can go to SharonHartz.org. That's S-H-A-R-I-N Hearts.org. Hey, thanks for staying with us. This is Sharon Hoskins here with Janie Ratzliff. And Janie, we recently talked about a Gallup poll that declared that only 24% of Christians believed the Bible in totality, and that leaves 76% of believers do not believe the Scriptures to be true.
Well, that's what the Gallup poll has recently reported as being facts. We've not verified it.
Okay.
A lot of Christians believe the Bible is true to a point, but they don't believe it is totally sufficient for their daily living, that it contains the truth, but they believe it lacks sufficient evidence. So many Christians then go looking for additional information to validate the Scriptures, and the Scripture doesn't need validating with outside information.
Okay, so when we talked about the four stages of maturity, the first being a relationship with God, when God's Word is how we hear God, how we know God, who God is, then that really kind of hinders us knowing who he is, and it hinders that relationship with him, does it not?
I would agree with you there, because there's small words that can make such a big difference. And so for many Christians, they know about God.
Okay.
But they don't know God.
Okay.
And so you can have information, and again, I'm not the final authority, because the Lord looks at the hearts. So I do believe that some people in church life can hear the word and be convicted and know about God saving them from their sins and dying on the cross. But that is a huge difference from having a individual relationship where you are relying on him and you learn to trust him and be your all in all. And since the Lord is the final judge and juror and deliverer and great shepherd, only he really can look at the heart. We are not going to be able to make a judgment call. But the ending results is, if you only know about God, then your life is going to be very subjective to whatever comes to you. But if you know him intimately and personally, then you will be able to stand the fiery darts of the enemy, and that you will be protected and he will be your refuge. Now, it doesn't mean that the enemy won't try to throw you darts, but that intimate relationship will give you a protection and a comfort and a guidance, because it's coming from a real person. And whether it comes through the Word of God in written form or whether it comes through other ways that he communes with you in prayer, that's going to be your basis of your strength.
But we can't really know God without the Scriptures. Is that not true?
I don't know how you would, because he says he is the Scripture.
Right.
In the beginning was God, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God.
And that's John chapter 1.
Correct. So that's why we have been given something that we can really latch on to. There was a time when people would talk about having a deep walk with the Lord, and that the Scriptures were life to them.
Mm-hmm.
And Jeremiah says, I hungered and I ate the words. They were life to me.
Right.
And the Lord also talks about them being life to us. And as I have been a student of the Word for many decades, I've understood that when I go to the Word and read it, it actually renews my physical being, my life, my temporal life, not to mention my spiritual and my spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's something that you become more acquainted with the more you're into the actual study and being a disciple. If you're picking up the Word of God for a 5-minute devotional, you're going to be a long time coming before you're comfortable with really letting the Scripture speak life to you. But that is the goal,
right,
of part of what the Lord wants for us, because it's that life that conforms us unto His Son's image.
And we'll never mature past infancy without the Scriptures.
And the correct application and interpretation. Remember, many people have the Scriptures, and then they read them through the grid or their eyes of their experience.
Okay.
Or right. They add something, the Scriptures plus.
Okay.
And again, I don't want to be negative on the fact that we can learn from people of old. Somebody asked me the night, who most influenced me in almost 70 years of knowing Christ, what great man? And I said, well, 99% of them are dead, and I never met them personally, but I knew them through their works.
Right.
But I did not use them as the authority for knowing the Scriptures. I relied on the Spirit to give life to the Scriptures.
Right.
And then they were able to add what we would say, color commentary, to cause me to think deeper and to meditate. And the Spirit used those men and women to help me really have a solid foundation.
Okay. We talked about the four phases of growing into maturity. And without the Scriptures, we will not find any sort of maturity at all, because we're not building our relationship. And so there stays a constant babyhood
where we're sucking on a bottle.
And we in America have been very fortunate to have excessive resources in this nation that has been based upon the Word of God and founded that way. Now, there are tribes that have to learn of the Lord through as He has manifested Himself through nature. They don't have the scriptures in their native tongue or their dialect. And so the Lord makes Himself known to them in other ways. But He can also place those principles. He can place the principle of John 3:16 into a tribal heart that has never read the scriptures. So we don't ever want to minimize or limit the total sovereignty of God on how He can draw a person. But okay. For those of us today that are wanting to grow, that are wanting to tear down the walls of defeat and despair and discouragement and disappointment, we need to realize that we have been given such abundant blessings and resources and freedom to know Him in His fullness. And when I say that, fullness that He has dictated to us through the scriptures here. Right. We will know more when we see Him face to face.
So what do we say to people who maybe say, well, how can you believe the Bible? Or what does the Bible's purpose serve?
Okay. All right. That's a very good question. And I would say that the Bible serves a purpose of keeping us grounded. It serves as giving us life, because in it is eternal life, and that is because the scripture simply, it's Jesus Christ speaking, God Almighty affirming, and the Holy Spirit applying. So with that in mind, the Bible to me is my cornerstone. Now, I don't worship the book of pages and...
Right, okay.
But I worship the God who speaks and wrote those words, and they are life. And that's foundational for me for survival. In this day of uncertainty with what we have with this security changes in our life and our nation's culture changing, mm-hmm. It is a solid rock.
Right.
My hope is built mm-hmm. on nothing less than Jesus Christ and His righteousness. And so really, we can go back and say that if we want to mature, if we want to be foundationally solid, then we can go look at 2 Peter 1:3, and it says that as His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us by His glory and virtue. All right?
Okay.
So I realize that what I need for this life is something that I can find in the scriptures. The next verse in Peter talks about the various precious promises and being able to claim those promises as we stand in trust and faith of those promises. So basically, the authority of the scriptures is the guarantee that in Christ, man has or woman has all it needs for life and godliness while traveling this 70, 80, 90, maybe 100 years.
Well, with all of the media that we have and all of the information overload that we get and things that are going on in our world today, that it's hard to know what is truth.
Well, that's a very good observation. We have been told we have the truth here about difficulties in our nation mm-hmm. and in our health care. And then 3 weeks later, there was new data, there were new facts, there uh-huh. were new information, and there was new circumstance that was put into the equation. Mm-hmm. So when you have truth that is subject to change, then it could have been correct information at the moment without it being everlasting truth.
Right.
So where do I go for everlasting truth? Well, I can go to the Word of God that has a history for at least what we understand to be 6,000 years, and there's mysteries of what may have transpired before Genesis 1:1.
Mm-hmm.
Those are things that the Lord said, I don't really need to give you all that information for your daily living right now.
Right.
But I am giving you everything that you need that pertains to life and godliness. So we need to establish that truth to be unchangeable truth, it needs to be what the scriptures talk about. It needs to be eternal. It needs to be immutable, which means it can't change. Truth needs to be final. In other words, there's no greater authority that you can call upon.
Okay.
And then it needs to be supreme. In other words, one truth can't be up by another truth.
Okay.
And then the last point for today is truth is absolute. You must have legitimate truth that is black and white, not subject to opinions, creeds, preferences, etc., etc.
Okay. All right, so basically the Bible is sufficient for our lives. It is necessary for our growth, and it will never change. It's something that we can depend upon, we can stand upon.
That's right, because the truth in the Scripture is the person that we're depending upon. It's just right. Not black and white print on a page.
History. It's not just history.
That's right. It is the one who wrote the history, and he says, I change not. And he also says for comfort, I'll never leave you nor forsake you, to the one that may be experiencing fear if they know him and just don't know about him.
Right. So earlier you read 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. And I would like to read that again, along with verses 2 through 8. It says, grace and peace be multiplied to you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given to us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control patience, and to patience, godliness, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, love. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why mentoring matters. Mentoring Matters is a discipleship program of SharonHearts.org. Join a community of Christians seeking to grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, with resource materials available for the journey at SharonHearts.org. That's SharinHearts.org.